I was completely wrong about women. And I bet most of you guys were too, at some point in your life. If you give yourself the freedom to answer that truthfully, I am sure that most of us were in the same boat. You know, I've realized as I get older and I reflect back on my life, that there are moments of real cringe when I think about just how dumb I was. I even had friends try to intervene. Like, they literally held an intervention, a bros before hoes intervention, where they tried to inform me and educate me. They tried to school me on this whole situation. I was too dumb to realize it, you know? Now, most of that time, I thought I was a pretty smart guy, you know? Now I look back on it and think, you know, dumb people don't know they're dumb because they're too dumb to realize it. And I was in that situation. I was too dumb to realize just how dumb I was. And that's really a scary thought, because then you wonder, how dumb am I now? Am I under the spell of something else right this minute? Have I lost control of my faculties? These are the questions I ask myself these days, because my whole worldview has been shattered by the rise of the modern woman. Today, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about what's going on. I think it's going to be a lot more eye-opening than anything you could possibly have understood or believed. There are lots of sociologists and articles being written, studies being done, and it's far worse than anything that we could have imagined. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. When I was a child, I believed that 99.99% of girls were basically good. I mean, I really believed that. I mean, except for my little sister, she was like that 0.1%. Somehow I had the bad luck of having that one girl as my little sister. But the rest of them, they all seemed to be pretty good. Like whenever we were in school and somebody was getting into trouble, it was never a girl, it was always a guy. It was oftentimes me. But there was never a girl involved. It was always us boys getting into trouble. Hold it, Tebow. So as I got older, as a teenager, and as a man, all of those seeds had been planted into my little immature brain. That girls were good. There was nothing to fear, nothing to be concerned about. They were trustworthy. They were the fairer sex. They were the ones that we could count on. They were kind, they were mature, they were responsible. They were benevolent, you know? Boys, you know, we stink. You know, we get into fights. We're aggressive. I remember going camping with my friends, three or four guys up in the woods for like 4 or 5 days, lots of beer, lots of hiking, no showers. Man, that tent was, that was ripe. Hang out with those guys for a while. It's like, man, I can't believe any woman would let a man climb all over her under any circumstances. I can't even imagine. But girls, they always smelled nice, you know? There were lots of fun things you could do with them. Their rooms were always neat. You know, their beds were always made. You know, they were just so good. They were just so good. Oh my God, what an idiot I was. But I bought it, hook, line, and sinker. But here's the thing. I am not the sole victim of this. This is something that is widely held among most men of my generation as we were growing up. So this was not just some isolated incident of dumbness on my part. This was a population-wide brainwashing that had occurred. We had taken an entire generation of men, and I think we've done it for thousands of years, and convinced them that women are really, really great. And we need to do everything in our power to protect them, take care of them, provide for them, trust them, believe in them. Always believe a woman. When that first came out with the Me Too thing, it took you a minute to stop and think, wait a second, that doesn't sound smart. Women are people, they're humans, they're capable of telling lies. But initially, when they said, you know, we should believe them, it took you a minute or two to stop and think, really, should we? And that's where things started to fall apart. That's when I first started to come to terms with the fact that there's something more going on here. Women are not all that we thought they were. And as their lies became more and more well published and in the media of how many women were lying on this whole Me Too thing, then it became clear to me that women were almost as bad as men. That was my thought then. Now, I think by the time I'm done with this video, you guys are going to agree with me that women on many levels are far worse than we could ever be. A couple of days ago, I put up a video where I quoted a Danish study where they were trying to figure out how they could impact the fertility issue that we're seeing in the West. So these professors and scientists were collecting data on men and women and their lifestyles and asking a lot of questions. And what they found was that there was an impact of income on fertility, which is sort of an odd thing. You wouldn't think that making more money would impact your ability or desire to have children. But as it turns out, it does make a big difference. In fact, with men, for every additional 5% of income that a man makes, he is 1% more likely to want to start a family. So that's really a fascinating thing, and it kind of follows. You would think, yeah, as men, we want to be protectors and providers. And so as we make more money, it makes us feel more confident in our ability to provide for another, to take care of a family, to raise children, to take care of a wife who may want to stay home for a while, you know? So I guess that kind of followed. What really blew my mind was when I found out that when women under those same circumstances got that 5% increase in income, they were 4% less likely to want to have a family. Allow that thought to sink in just for a minute. So they are four times, maybe five times, I can't do the math on that. I'm not a number, but as a math major, but way more likely to want to not have a family as they earn more money. Now, my first thought was, obviously, these women are wanting to hold on to their money and spend it on themselves. My daughter said, well, Dad, well, maybe, you know, they just don't want to lose their job. Maybe they're concerned about if they were to have a family that they would lose their job because now they're earning more money, they're more, the job has more value to them, and the thought of starting a family might make them not want to do that, because then if they had to take maternity or whatever, they would potentially lose their job. So I thought, okay, maybe that's the case. But that was not what was detailed in the study. No, it was just about income. So I don't know if we can draw that conclusion and cut them some slack. I mean, that was her interpretation, and so I have to accept it as fact. But I don't think that that's necessarily representative of the entire group there. I think that there is something about power and control that comes with that paycheck. And I believe that through that power and control, they want to have autonomy in their own lives, which, you know, whatever. If that's what you need, that's what you want, you got to have it, you feel like you need it, then absolutely, then you should do it. But let's be really clear here. As men see that same set of circumstances, they're much more willing to invest in others, while women are less likely to invest in others. And that's really the final equation when you get right down to it. It's about, are men more generous than women when it comes to starting a family? And I think that clearly men are. Now, what's interesting about this is I never would have guessed this in 1,000 years. I would not have guessed that money would have played a role in women's decision to have a family, except that you need to have enough household income to cover it, you know? And I would have thought that if a woman was making more money, she would be more likely to want to start a family because then she would have more financial security. Not necessarily true. Also, what's interesting about this, since this was a Danish study, you know, they were looking at European Union women and women in the Netherlands in particular, I believe that they get like a year worth of maternity leave no matter what, and it's against the law for their employers to fire them. So it wasn't even like what my daughter was saying, oh, maybe they would be afraid of losing their job. As I'm thinking this through in my head, no, these Europeans, they've got all kinds of great programs for moms, you know? They support their women. So it's not like this woman would be without financial support, or she would have to give up her job or lose her standing in the company, she would be just fine. It's against the law for the company to penalize her for having a baby. So consider that for a moment. It's just pure greed and selfishness, I think, that drives their behavior. If you follow the mainstream media, and you read articles in mainstream newspapers and magazines, and you watch the mainstream news, you would come to the conclusion that we have a misogyny problem in this country. That there is a lot of discrimination and hatred of men toward women. Now, when I've heard this argument being made, I've always disagreed with it because I know lots of guys, and we get pissed off at women, and we'll make fun of them, and we think they're idiots sometimes. But we don't hate them. I mean, we just don't. We just, very few men actually really have a solid, real problem with a woman. Fly right over me. Why would he do that? Couldn't he see me down here? But fortunately, you know, we got all these scientists running around. They decided to do a little study, figure out exactly what's going on with this issue between the genders. Why are we having so much trouble, you know, with creating families and getting married, dating, any of it? Why is it all falling apart? And so they got together thousands of men and women, and they gave them questionnaires, and they asked them about their feelings for the opposite gender. And what came out of it was that about 7% of the male population has either a negative or a strong aversion to having a relationship to women. They do not want it. 7%. So that means there's 93% of us that are still open to it. 93% of men either have a neutral to a positive view of women. Now, when they asked women that same question, 21% had a strong aversion to having a relationship with a man. They had a strong negative opinion about men. Three times as many women hate men as men hate women. Three times as many. A 300% swing on that one issue. Think about that for a second. Now go back to the sugar and spice and everything nice little girls, you know, the ones you grew up with, the ones who never caused any trouble, the ones who were always responsible, the ones who were so benevolent. It was all a lie. It was just all a bunch of crap. Maybe back then, maybe back in the 70s and 80s, it really was. They were really nice. Maybe back then they were all really good. And it's only here and now that we're seeing this play out, which I think might be the case. Anthropologists tell us that women, because of their vulnerability, would seek out protection, you know, and provision, even sometimes from other women. Like if they were out doing a gathering thing, they would stay together as a group, as a large group, and they would make as much noise as possible to try to run off any critters that might be a danger to them. Signaling vulnerability to the other women in the group was critical so that everyone knew where everyone was and how everyone needed to be protected. They also have what's called social contagion. Social contagion is where if one or two women take on a habit or a tendency, or they have an opinion or a behavior, it's very likely that that behavior will be mimicked by other women in the group, that they will all try to conform to the behaviors of the woman that they deem as the leader. And they do this as a way to show fealty or loyalty to that leader, especially given that they feel vulnerable. And so having what they deem a strong leader in their female group, they don't want to put themselves on the wrong side of that leader because they're afraid of being excluded from the group. If this woman that they have determined as the leader decides that their behaviors are not in keeping with the group behaviors, then they may all decide to exclude her. And of course, a woman excluded in those hunter-gatherer days, well, that woman would die. There's almost no chance that she's going to survive out there on her own. So it was critical that women conform, that they formed a consensus around leadership and behaved in a manner that allowed them to remain within that group. And if they didn't, like I said, they were very, very vulnerable. Now, fast forward, 20,000 years, and we've got social media. And as you have probably noticed in our own politics, that it seems like the most extreme and loudest speaking people are deemed to be the most passionate, and so they oftentimes become the leaders. Now, in the feminist movement, these people are frequently women who really hate men. Oftentimes they're lesbians. In fact, much of the women's movement began with a very strong core of lesbians who are really pushing for female rights, which kind of makes sense because these women had a lot of masculine internal characteristics. They had a lot of masculine, self-identity. And so the fact that they were pushing so hard to get equal rights, well, it kind of makes sense. It kind of follows. They didn't think of themselves as women in some way, on some level. But I digress. Today, those same lesbians and these women who have, through feminism, co-opted the entire woke ideology are doing the same kind of signaling. These women who put themselves out there as leaders, whether they be on social media. And of course, if you've got a ton of followers on social media and you're a woman, like you've got 500,000 or 1 million or 2 million followers, well then obviously you're the leader, right? And you're setting the tone for everybody else. And so all the other women that are watching are going to pay attention to the signals that you're sending. And if you're sending signals that are anti-man and you're saying things that are really hateful and really disgusting, well, all these other women, they want to remain safe and sound within that group. And so that contagion spreads and a consensus is built. And women who do not agree with that are excluded. And so there becomes a neurosis that develops within that group. They don't want to be excluded. They don't want to be the one who doesn't behave correctly. This goes back to what I was talking about with Hannah a couple weeks ago. Poor little Hannah, she's trying to carry the flame for the whole group. She's trying to show and signal back to the leadership that she's in lockstep with their ideological hatred of men. And she's going to stand up to me and say that I'm a misogynist, and she's going to call me negative names on social media and try to destroy me as a presence. She's going to try to cancel me. That's what they do. They want to destroy you as a member of society. They want to undermine you. They want to destroy your reputation. They want to find something that they can do or say that will reduce your power, your influence, your ability to speak. And what's ironic about all this is that when you combine that with their woke ideology that's all about equal rights and freedom and liberty and free speech and all these ideological, maxims that we hold ourselves accountable to. But the minute someone speaks out against them, or the minute someone calls them out, well, all that shit goes down the drain real, real fast. They don't want to hear that. That's not in keeping with their ideological agreement, their contagion, the consensus that they've built. They don't want someone pushing back because they don't want anyone stepping out of line. They have an agenda in their heads to, before I go down that path, I think that part of it is by saying these extreme, crazy, mean things online, they get attention, And the attention economy that we live in now is all about that. The more insane thing that you say out loud in front of a camera, the more likely it is that you're going to make money. People think that, like with social media, that we as creators are selling our content to you, the viewers. That's not it at all. No. We're selling you, the audience, to YouTube's advertisers. I swear to God, that's really what's going on here. It has nothing to do with me creating content or anyone else creating content. It's about the size of the audience, the demographic of the audience, and are they going to stay and watch? And if they do, YouTube is going to send the ads and they're going to keep on feeding them to you. And YouTube, for the most part, and the advertisers, generally speaking, as long as it's not too crazy, they'll go along with a lot of stuff, And now that this feminine fascism has become so mainstream that it occurs without anyone even blinking an eye. No one questions it. Advertisers are really happy to post, you know, their products right alongside this hateful speech. Now think for a second, if it were reversed. What if I, as a man, was the hateful one, and I was saying really, really mean and negative things about women, about hating them, just hating them. And what if I was trying to get all you guys to hate them too? I was trying to create a movement, an anti-woman movement. And what if that movement spread? And let's say 21% of the entire male population hated women. What do you think would happen? They'd come and arrest me, number one. I'd be off the air. There's no question about it. I'd be gone. You know, the authorities would definitely be involved. There would be some kind of hearings up on Capitol Hill, you know. There'd be something going on at the United Nations. There'd be a lot of people running around scared to death that there's going to be some kind of a slaughter, you know, because men are hating women. Yeah. But when it's women who are doing the hating, yeah, we all just kind of snicker at them, you know. It's like, oh, give me a break, bitch. You know, what the hell? Really, give me a break. I shouldn't have said that. I'll cut that out. One of the primary reasons that women hate men so much these days is they claim that men use deceptive mating strategies. Let's think about this for a second. Let's break it down. What are we talking about here? We're talking about sex, right? I think that's probably it. We're probably talking about sex. We're probably talking about a situation where man and woman get together. I'm assuming there'll be young men and women, you know? And one thing leads to another. A sexual act occurs, and then he ghosts her. I'm pretty sure that's what we're talking about, is getting ghosted. Now, that's a terrible thing to happen. You know, I certainly am in agreement with the women that that's a terrible thing to happen. However, I would like to point out that it's not men who control the access to sex. It's women. So if women don't want to find themselves in those situations, they can just say no. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not getting it. I don't understand. Like, the man is not coercing her, you know? I mean, I can see, first of all, just go back in time. Men have always used deceptive practices in the mating game with women. If we were honest with women, none of us would ever, ever get a woman. You know, if we told them all the terrible things that we know about ourselves, no woman would ever touch us. No one would ever touch us. So yes, there's always been some deception in this process. That's what the whole mating, dating game is about. It's about, I'm going to put forward my very best self to you, like the best thing I can even think of, and hopefully you're going to take it. So hopefully you're going to say yes, you know? Now, the ghosting thing is sort of recent, you know, and certainly there are a certain percentage of guys who will completely do that, and that's certainly unethical. But women do still hold some level of responsibility here because they do not need to take them to bed. Here's the thing, is that those guys that do that, we'll call them F-boys will not stick around for a long time. They're not gonna play this long game. They're not gonna be with you for 6 months hoping to finally get some. If they don't get it in the first week or two, they're ditching you. They're gonna ghost you early. So all you gotta do is hold out for a couple of months in a dating situation, and you will find that you've eliminate all those guys really, really fast. So if you guys stop being so promiscuous and using sex like it's some kind of a tool or a weapon or whatever, then you might just find that there are more good guys out there than you think. Because a really good guy, he might be willing to wait, you know? I think you'd be surprised. No, that's not the way things are these days. It's the way it was when I was young, you know? I mean, we were very promiscuous back then. And yeah, if I was in a relationship with a woman, you know, it took a couple of months in most cases. I mean, I had my one night stands, but in most cases, it took a couple of months before you were able to move on to, you know, the next level. There was a lot of kissing and heavy petting in the meantime, but there was no intercourse. And I don't know why that doesn't still stand. I don't understand why you guys are jumping right into the sack and starting your relationships off with sex. I mean, what did you expect was going to happen? You know, I mean, really? Use your brain. Come on, girls. You know, you say you're smarter than us. Think it through. We've talked in other videos about how important it is for women to identify strongly with victimization. And despite the fact that they have all the rights that men have, there are more of them than there are of us. They have more political power than we do. And now they're making as much money as we are. They're graduating from, you know, the finest universities more than we are. They're getting white-collar jobs at higher rates than men are. They're climbing the social and income ladders at a very fast rate. They're buying houses earlier than single men. So they seem to be getting all of the benefits of society. They're getting all the things that they could possibly want. They are outperforming men these days on many, many different measurements. It's very hard to maintain that victim status when you are winning. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's really a hard sell. I gotta give it to them though. They are doing a great job. That's why I think this whole man-hating thing comes up. I think that it's all about, we need someone to blame for anything that goes wrong in our lives. You know, like we're not as happy as we would like to be. It's gotta be a man's fault, you know? We're not making as much money as we think we deserve. That's gotta be a man's fault. I'm not reaching self-actualization as quickly as I would like. It's gotta be a man's fault. I'm in therapy all the time. That's gotta be a man's fault. You know, it's just a matter of being the victim at all costs. Because so long as they can draw power from that victim identity, they can defend themselves against all public attacks. So they can say ridiculous, terrible, mean, evil things out loud on social media, on TV, in magazines, on Reddit. They can say it anywhere they want. And they are completely immune from attack because, God bless them, they're all a bunch of victims. And we should all be concerned. We should probably start some kind of a telethon. You know, maybe we should do like a walkathon for them. We'll have a woman's walkathon because, God bless them, they've been victims this whole time. Despite the fact that they're making more money, they're buying houses, they're getting better educated, they've got everything they could possibly want. But we men, you know, we are obviously the reason why they're not as happy as they should be. And I can't imagine, you know, having gotten everything that they ever wanted, you know, that if it weren't for us, they would absolutely be, completely happy, you know? But it's because of us that they are clearly unhappy. So now you can see why I said at the beginning of this video, I look back on my life at different stages, and my ideas and thoughts and beliefs about women were so naive and so foolish that I find myself cringing just thinking about how wrong I was and how dumb I could have been without even realizing it. Now, part of me thinks that maybe I wasn't that dumb back then. Part of me thinks that maybe back then they weren't so crazy. Maybe the craziness has come recently. And I believe that we can look at social media and maybe even dating apps to a certain extent, but certainly social media as the culprit for cultivating this craziness in women. Because like I said earlier, they do have this, you know, cultural signaling that they do with one another. And they do have this need to agree on everything. There needs to be a consent in everyone's behaviors within that group. And because the craziest people seem to be spreading their vitriol on platforms like TikTok and Instagram and even YouTube, perhaps this craziness isn't as fully matured as we would like to believe. I would guess that a large percentage of these women who say they are negative toward men, or they hate men, or they express this hatred, even poor Hannah, I'm certain of it. I would guess that when given a safe environment, say with a man, and they're removed from the need to seek safety from the group of women, from the feminine fascism. Once they get out of that feminine fascism and they're able to seek real safety and provision from a man in a man's world, they would probably release a lot of that vitriol. They would probably let it go. They would no longer need to have all that hatred inside them, and they would probably call it out as silly and stupid. And I would bet that a lot of good women who have been in healthy relationships with men don't agree with any of that shit. Do you know what I mean? I bet they're part of the 79% who are still positive or at least neutral about men. Anyway, I just thought it was an interesting article I read recently on this topic, and I saw some fascinating conversations, podcasts about it, and it seemed like it would be appropriate to at least talk about it here. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this video. If you liked it, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who might enjoy it, please share it with them. Till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.